Loud Podcast Network.
Why do you close your eyes when we do that?
I get really into it. Okay. I get super into the intro. I like it to be there.
Never gets old. I'm real happy about that.
It still sounds really good.
Sounds great. Our podcast doesn't.
But now, a lot of other podcasts I've been listening to will start the show off with like a teaser of what's coming up in the episode.
Yes.
Why?
Coming up on this week's episode of Radio for Winners.
Right, our show's only 30 minutes long. You don't need a teaser for that. That's longer than the episode.
Yeah, but you would do
also,
it.
Also, most of these shows have like the content in the show notes so you see when you download the episode.
Right.
So, yeah, it doesn't really make sense.
So it doesn't surprise you. Like, oh, it is exactly what I said I downloaded. That's amazing. But maybe we should do one. Maybe we should start each show with a promo of what will be on the show.
But then
you
we're going to listen. I don't even know what we're talking about.
Then make it
hey,
up.
On this week's episode, Tony will mispronounce a couple words. Don will reference the Ravens, the Orioles, and NASCAR 17 times, and Jeremy will just sound like he's drinking beer.
I like how he did that, which, by the way, was pretty good. But he screwed up words in his intro.
See, it was accurate.
It was accurate.
All on purpose.
We want winners here.
You smell like a winner.
From days of long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, Don.
I like seeing you guys.
Good to
I
see
wish
you as
why
well,
don't you
Jeremy.
Move? Why don't you move? To
hey,
hell,
good right? to see Tony. Good to see Don. It's good to see everybody.
We didn't see each other in a while.
This should really be the intro.
Another episode of Radio for Winners, Tony, Jeremy, Cherokee, Don, the Red Crow, coming at you live. Red States. That's what the Red Crow loves, Red States.
You love the Red States.
What's going on, guys? What's new this week?
Oh, man, this week has been action-packed. Not really. My wife was out of town all weekend, so I was single dad. Did a lot of crying. No, I had to, you know, watch my kids. It wasn't very exciting. My wife went to a wedding in Arizona. So, what about you,
Don? She left the state?
Yeah, she flew out to Arizona for a wedding.
Now, my wife, she shot a wedding on Saturday, so I had all the kids by myself on Saturday. Why did we not get together?
We were going to, and then you're like, I have to clean, and I was fine with that.
I did.
I was okay with
that. I cut the grass.
For the last time?
And I left a newborn with a seven-year-old, so.
It's a solid plan. That's a good diet. That's a good idea.
Father of the year right here. But that's what I did this weekend, and then I just got back from California because I had to get up bright and early Sunday morning and fly out to the Golden State.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
It was horrible. I hate that.
Horrible. Last week I was complaining about having people over this weekend because I'm just a terrible person and I host gatherings. But turns out my wife's friends very nice, very fun to hang out with. However, I'm very old. Because I felt guilty because I pretty much want to go to bed and insist on doing so at like midnight each night. So these people drove like 7 hours to have the guy hosting everything going, hey, I'm going to sleep. I'll catch you later. Guys, you stay up. You stay up in this one bedroom.
Keep it down.
Yeah, so I felt bad, but it was a very fun weekend.
And you guys, you're gonna sleep in my bedroom tonight. I'm gonna sleep on the sofa. But since the party is out here in the living room area, I'm gonna need you to take the party into the bedroom so I can go to sleep here on the sofa.
You can just keep it down.
My urine smelled cat pee sofa.
Now my wife's friend, her husband does marketing, and I was asking him like some advice on what we Radio for Winners could do better to get the name out there, to get the word out there, to get more listeners. And he said, well, are you updating your Twitter? Are you updating your Facebook? And I said, not really. We have one guy that does it. He says, well, do you use hashtags that much? And we use, well, you know, Beat Don's Kids.
Ironically. We ironically use a lot of hashtags.
and he you know, gave some tips, apparently. A lot of the common sense stuff, like actually tweet.
Okay, I follow him so far. This seems solid.
And there's some other stuff we can do. We can talk offline about to try to increase our Twitter and social media presence.
We will not talk
now, you didn't happen to actually play him an episode.
He has not listened to an episode yet because I wanted him to think that I was actually much funnier and that the show actually had potential. Whereas I'm sure he's going to email me after this and go, hey, you know what? Don't worry about this.
I listen to your show and there's nothing you can do to help it.
You could tweet every minute of every day. No one is going to listen to that horrible show.
Could you try getting some content people want to hear?
Maybe.
Well, he did ask what our show is about and who we're trying to focus our show on. And it was kind of hard to explain that our listenership is just one guy who likes to have bacon one day a year as like a celebratory birthday lunch. So I don't know how to say, hey, I'm not really sure even how to describe our listeners.
Well, we have it's a show about nothing. We're the Seinfeld of podcasts.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Why?
Yep, I knew it was coming.
Why don't more people listen to our podcast?
It's a podcast about us. We're interesting people because we're not interesting.
We talk about fun things. We're fun people.
Radio for Winners, we're fun people.
Put that on your review.
Well, I think, like, isn't our opening thing like three guys in a garage pretending people are listening?
Right, yeah, that's what it says on our Podbean page. Which, speaking of which, did you get a sign up on Stitcher yet?
I have not. I have no idea how to do that. I don't know what an RSS feed is. Apparently, I don't know anything about
it. It works in the technology business.
I have no idea what I'm doing there either.
And by the way, what was the big push to get more reviews today? That was
I thought it would be a good idea for us to get more reviews on the Thundergrunt page. People were bringing up that we should try to get people to review the other Thundergrunt shows, and I thought, why don't we try to get people to review our own show?
But you can't do it from your phone, though.
You can, but you have to go back to the podcast. This is a tip for everyone at home right now. If you go back to your podcast and you go to search podcasts and search Radio for Winners, even though it's got to be on your favorites, probably at the top because it's the best podcast you listen to, there is where you can put a review in.
You can move the podcast from the bottom to the top?
Yeah.
Oh,
I didn't know you could do that.
I didn't either. Mine's at the bottom.
Yeah, when you go to edit, it doesn't matter. Yes, you can do that. And so
I do know that I recently downloaded the latest Apple update, and I had no idea how to find my podcast for about the half a day. I was like, I don't know where this. I don't know where anything is.
That's part of the new iOS 8. It eliminates Radio for Winners from your podcast list.
It's like, clearly this was an accident. We don't want you to listen.
We don't want you to listen to this horrible, horrible show.
I now have more guests though coming in this weekend, so I'm going to try to see if I can be in bed by 10:30.
That's me normally when I have guests over, so I can see that.
And he doesn't have kids.
Well, right. I guess that's the difference. I get up at 4 every morning.
I get up early. I get up very early. I get up around 5.
That's too early to get up without kids.
I'm really curious to see what would happen with his life when he does have kids. Because, I mean, is he going to get up that early anyway?
Well, yeah, maybe his kid will go running with him.
He's going to be one of those guys with those douchebag strollers.
Oh, yeah. He's going to have a jogging stroller.
He's got a headband on. He's listening to, I need a hero! And he's like running through wherever the hell he lives on the mountainside.
Asheville.
That song. Yeah,
beautiful Asheville, North Carolina.
Yeah, whatever. All right. He's drinking tea.
He is drinking tea.
All right. Well, good for you.
Look what happened to you, Tony. Look what happened.
I know.
So I sent you guys a text message this weekend because I thought it was funny that 98 Rock, local radio station, was going to have a porn star on Monday morning, and I knew the porn star's name, and so I was like, oh, that's awesome. And then I thought about it, and I was like, how terrible of a human being am I that I knew there was a porn star by name that I'd be like, oh, I've seen that porn star before. I can't wait to hear their radio interview.
Like, what was his name?
His name was... Brian Fury. No. It was Alexis Texas, who's a porn star, and I have seen several of her films, and I thought she might have a lot to say about the business. I didn't want to miss out on that. I didn't end up listening to it because I realized that what is a porn star going to say that I'm really going to care about? And they're just going to ask her porn star kind of questions. It's not like they're going to ask her about something else that would be interesting. So I didn't listen. But you guys then proceeded to make fun of me for the rest of the weekend as if my whole life now is that I sit around the house watching porn and I have them like filed away by name or something.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the messages that we sent. But, yeah, I mean, you just had a lot of information about this.
I didn't have a lot of information. You guys asked who it was. I said it was a porn star and she has a large ass. And all of a sudden you guys were like, yeah, whoa, hey, what's up, her?
So I think we started saying, what is her specialty? Like, what is she specialized
in? You just said, who is that? And I said, it's a porn star.
And she has a very large ass. That's right. So then we started saying that that's your fetish.
Well, the surprise to you guys, my fetish is people who will sleep with me.
The nice thing was I pretended like I didn't know any porn stars out there. Like, I couldn't think of any. However, I have them all actually filed away. So I know plenty.
I was thinking, I was like, first off, Tony's screwing me. I know he knows people. Maybe he doesn't know this specific person, but he definitely knows some porn stars. If you're talking about how you like to find the specific clip you want to watch, at this point, I'm not going to just search random clips. I don't have time for that. If I know I like several people, I might search them by name just to see what I can find.
Wow.
But that's how you got to do it. You got to be efficient, Don. I have kids. I don't have time to search porn. You just got to be like, here's a porn I think I like. Bam. And if you don't like it, you move on.
You ever click the categories button just to see what your choices are?
They're all bad.
They really are.
But they're all labeled the same thing. If you like on RedTube or YouPorn, the titles, they'll have like 20
proud
categories.
Proud sponsors, by the way, of Radio for Winners.
Radio for Winners is brought to you by RedTube. Watch some porn on RedTube. But they'll have categories, but then each video is like six categories. So they all fit into all of them. So if you just click anal, it's everything. Even if they don't have anal in it. It's like, whoa.
You're into that too?
No, but I'm saying if you click, they all list anal as a category.
How did you know
also
that?
You can go on the Radio for Winners website, www.radioforwinners.com. Click the icon that's the gaping a-hole, and that will lead you to PornTube, and we actually get dollars on the dollar.
We get dollars on your free porn clicking.
Wow. That's fantastic. Yeah, but that was fun that we were text messaging back and forth, and this is while your wife was out of town, and were home with the kids.
Yeah.
By yourself.
Yeah, and I was with my kids. There's a big difference.
But you were celebrating that there was going to be a porn star on a radio station on a Monday.
Right. But ironically, because I was home alone with just my kids, there was no Morning Joe. It didn't happen.
And did you get the chance to listen to the interview on Monday?
No, I didn't listen to the interview.
Why?
I didn't really want to listen to the interview. I just thought, I was more just like, I heard the ad and I thought, oh, this is going to be amazing. And I thought, wait a minute, how horrible of a human being am I that I was excited about a specific porn star on a radio station?
I think he listened.
No, I didn't. I mean, I would have, but I did not listen.
But then, it was a weekend barrage of text messages because then we started getting random pictures from Tony.
I didn't get those.
You didn't get
those? Just him nude?
Yes.
Wow. Just in front of a fountain?
So Tony found some interesting books and one of
those. Oh, yes. I did see those.
Yeah. So I was at an airport getting ready to watch football, and I was sitting at a Chili's. I was at a Chili's airport. You ever had an airport Chili's?
I'm sure it's like every other Chili's, but there's planes around.
There it is.
Yep.
It's pretty much okay.
This is a total dot. Hey, you ever have that airport Chili's?
Yeah.
This is the thing about Chili's in the airports. They don't have at the other Chili's is you can actually get your chicken fingers shaped like an airplane. And I'll tell you,
catch a flight.
That's a nice touch.
You want to start talking about Groupons? You know, while we're sitting here, no?
Groupon.
Skip that part, yeah. Yeah, so anyway, I start getting these messages from Tony, and I'm laughing uncontrollably at the messages from Tony. Do you have the examples pulled up?
Yeah, well, the first one he sent over was a picture of a fantasy novel, of a Dungeons & Dragons fantasy novel. And I think he was asking me if I own it.
Yes.
Because I assumed he didn't mean you. Because I don't believe you own any books. And then I said, no, I actually don't have that book. And then you asked, are you and my grandparents?
Well, if you looked at the picture that he said, it looks like there was a lot of like old wood, like, you know, like fixtures and stuff, like wood paneling and stuff like around. Like it looked like he was in my grandparents' basement.
Well, then he said, yeah, he did. He was in your grandparents' basement, and he found the book Men on Men 4, Best New Game.
Now, the nice thing, the best part about that is literally one shelf over from the D&D stuff is the gay male-on-male books.
That actually makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense.
Not that we're stereotyping, but yeah. So this is, I mean, this is the messages that we send back and forth. We do communicate with one another.
We do. Not about the show. No. Especially if it's about the show, then you do not reply at all.
No, sometimes my favorite part is when we're sending messages back and forth like this to one another, and then somebody goes, all new Radio for Winners, Tony, Jeremy, Cherokee, Don here with you. That's, you know, like we're doing the show via text message. Which, yeah, by the way,
we'd have the same number of listeners.
We have the same number of listeners, but we do the show via text message. Yes, that's fantastic. Hey, if you want to be a part of our text message chat, send us your phone number to our email address, and we'll add you to our distro list.
Let's start back an old mail list. Nothing's more obnoxious than that.
Yeah. All right.
Don, you know your neighbors pretty well, right?
Yeah.
I've met a couple of them at some poker games.
Yeah.
They seem very nice. We've talked about how I don't know my neighbors because I'm antisocial, but I have learned a little bit about them, and they seem very nice. Mm-hmm. But none of us, neither of us, have amazing neighbors like our friend Tony in Asheville.
Yeah, I started hearing
not
a little
just
bit about
the neighbor
this,
who decided to jump out of a window. That neighbor probably very incredible. Wow, we cannot interview them.
Can't bring them up.
Yeah, well, as you know, I live in an interesting building that I think I said started out as a luxury. No, a historic hotel
is how it
originally started out.
An historic inn.
I said.
It started off as an historic inn.
Yeah, that's how I kicked it off. So, I mean, it's had a lot of weird history. It was a military hospital. It was a psychiatric institution for a time. So it draws a lot of interest from people that are very creative, myself included.
Yes.
So my wife was outside in the parking lot. I think she was walking back from the car or something, and she there was this old man that was that was gallivanting towards the door.
Gallivanting.
And she had a discussion with him. He was very friendly, and he had mentioned that he used to work here actually when this was a psychiatric facility.
Come on.
Now that's a red flag in any story.
Right?
If you used to work at a mental hospital that later on put apartments in it, would you move to that mental to those apartments?
And
I wouldn't.
You stayed. Yeah.
Are you sure he worked there and he just, like, when they turned into the apartments, are like, well, there's only a couple guys left. They can just live there.
They get first dibs.
Now, I think the discussion also was about the weather because it was in Asheville, it's we're known for attracting tourists because they like the season change, like the leaves are a lot of colors. And his quote was, it's like Disney World here.
I bet. Asheville's known as the Disney World of the East Coast.
What is going on down there?
So then he gave my wife his
sign on 95,
card,
yeah,
and said that, you know, he can find more information on him and because he's a writer, and you can find more information on him on his business card. So she promptly came in, gave me the card, said, you have to check out this site.
She locked all the doors.
I just met a very interesting old man, and I went to his website, and then I forwarded that site to Jeremy, who spent all day researching.
All day at work. I didn't do 1 minute of work today except for researching your neighbor.
Now, he's known as the godfather of what?
I'm pretty sure it's gay erotica.
Wow.
I didn't realize that there was somebody who was looked to, you know, like, for example, you think of like the godfather of rock and roll. A lot of people say Chuck Berry is known as the godfather of rock and
the
roll.
The godfather of soul.
That's James Brown.
James Brown.
Yeah.
And apparently your neighbor, Mr. Jerry Tillotson, at least that's the name he uses on his website, is
now,
the godfather
of gay sex.
He also
has several AKAs.
He does. Well, let me get into that. I found this is what I did today all day, Tony, and I can't thank you enough for sharing this with me, and I can't believe you didn't tell me about this the day you got the card. Except that you probably had to go through several of these books, so I get that. So if you go to jerrytillotson.com, you can follow along.
How do we spell that?
But I do not recommend. Jerry is only spelled with one R.
Okay.
I don't know why.
J-E-R-Y?
J-E-R-Y Tillotson, T-I-L-L-O-T-S-O-N.
All right, we all got it.
He's an author.
Yeah.
Oh, so this guy's like 74.
Yeah, he's
so he's in his like mid-70s. If I neglected to say that earlier, this was an old gay man.
It is. And he's only written one book under his actual name, which is called I, a Man. And this is his description of his book, the only book he's ever written under his own name. He's written a lot of books under other names, and I'll get into that in a second. But this is his description of I, a Man. Let's turn on some music here.
Okay.
That'll make all these books even more erotic, I think.
He puts the lotion in the basket or else he gets the hose again.
No, sir. This is
the godfather of gay erotica.
At 5, a cunning pedophile introduced him to the explosive world of male-male sex. By 54.
Let's stop that. That sounds like a compliment. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. if you were going to say at five, if somebody had introduced you to the world of male-male sex, and, you know, if that's what you're into at 75, that's totally cool. But at five, it's probably not cool.
Probably not really a good...
Female-male sex at five, probably not something you really want to introduce them to be honest.
No.
But,
and you call the guy cunning? How cunning are you?
Well, cunning is not a negative term. Cunning is kind of a positive term, or at least a neutral term. But yeah, I wouldn't... Oh, man, remember that cunning pedophile that raped me? Not good. Not good.
Okay.
But he starts it that way, so we'll continue with his own words. At five, a cunning pedophile introduced him to the explosive world of male-male sex. By 54, Jerry Tillotson was recognized as a pioneer in gay writing that began in 1978. At the age of 73, he's rediscovered the joy of male-male romance again via cyber dating in the city of Asheville, North Carolina. Through it all, the author describes the violent homophobia that marked most of his life, even during his 15 years as a prize-winning journalist. Shocking but true. Take a journey through the tumultuous life he's lived and be fascinated, aroused, and not forgotten.
1978.
So that's the book he wrote. It's an autobiography of his life as a gay man. Now that, you know what? If that's what you're into reading, I'm sure it's very good. It sounds like he's well written.
Stephen King writes about, you know, all kind of weird things. This guy does too.
Well, I mean, this is his life. You're writing about your life. If your life was weird, it means you lived a hard life.
It is.
So in that aspect, I salute you, Mr. Tillotson, for putting down your experience on paper.
Is there a butt here?
There's not a butt. He's also written his other books before this book under pseudonyms.
Okay.
A pseudonym for everyone at home is a fake name.
All right. Like we use all fake names.
Right.
Right.
Except for you. You're honestly Cherokee Don the Red Crow.
Red Crow.
So if you wanted to read his other erotic literature, he writes under the name Jason Fury.
Yeah, some of those titles.
Jason Fury wrote the book Naked Fury. This is Jason Fury's smash hit sequel to his groundbreaking Eric's Body. In Naked Fury, you'll find 23 stories and you'll meet the postman from hell whose two knocks herald his crazed S&M desires for his beautiful new resident. How about a mob of powerful, sizzling construction workers who save a beautiful boy from the violent pimp who wants him to himself? And in the story Burnt Oranges, meet the powerful Daddy Jack Sorrell, who's taking his out-of-control son back to America on the Titanic in 1912. Only one survives. You'll find them all here. Big, beautiful, mean, sadistic, angelic men that only Jason Fury can profile.
Jason Fury.
Take off your clothes and get naked when you read Naked Fury.
Isn't that how you read anyway?
That's how I read everything.
New York Post.
Especially when I get it for free at the Chick-fil-A.
Now, I was reading a line there earlier. Maybe it's in another book, but there's a line that says, Who says the postman only rings once?
That's got to be, it's this one. But that was the, he has two descriptions for each book. I don't really know quite why. So that's Jason Fury. That's an example of his work as Jason Fury.
Yeah.
He also does sort of horror erotica. And I'm not sure if it's Andrea or Andrea, but based on the rest of this, I'm going with Andrea de Alessandra. Her most recent book is Run Fast, My Wolf Boy. And here's the description for this one. A beautiful psychic and her powerful wolf boy lover batter mountain evil. She was the high school outcast, shunned, spit upon, beaten up because she was locked up in a madhouse until she was 16 for such unsettling talents for levitation, mentally moving around objects and walking through walls. He was the powerful jock who became fascinated with her and took her home to meet his father, the powerful werewolf king of Grizzly Mountain. Together they joined forces to battle the vicious townspeople who wanted to destroy the wolf paradise and replace it with a glitzy resort. With danger fast approaching, Gretchen warns her wolf lover, run fast, my wolf boy. Run fast.
How have these have not been turned into like an NBC miniseries?
This is a Lifetime movie. Right? These have to be Lifetime movies.
Actually, this show was turned into a sitcom premiering after Mulaney on Sundays on Fox. So,
Strong lead-in.
Check those local listings.
Well, there's another book as Andrea that I thought was the most amazing description of a book ever written. So if you don't mind, sir. This book is Screams of Pan. Here's the description. The fabulous Christina Tremont is the offspring of a powerful werewolf father and his magical vampire wife. In 2013, she meets the extraordinary muscle god Johnny America, whose father may well have been the god Atlas. Together, they battle the Dark Ones, but realize they need the help of the great god Pan. Will our beautiful couple be defeated before Pan can rescue them? This is a nonstop journey through the paranormal worlds of shift-changing creatures, demons, and oversexed young warriors.
The funny thing is, we never realized that the sexy time music that we used there, we would need more than 22 seconds. We would have to re-record.
I'm going
to
read the entire book next episode, so we better have that ready to go.
So just hit me. He wrote this last year, 2013?
He wrote the last one here, The Wolf Boy, was last year, I believe.
So he's like writing that in this building.
Yeah, yeah. He's writing these amazing stories. Now, if just think, though, he has this fantasy character he writes his horror books as, and he has Jason Fury, who writes his regular male erotica. But if he has some other more extreme male erotica, he goes under, he goes as Big Bill Jackson. Big is in all capital letters, which is weird. Who would do that? So his book is Big Bill Jackson. A sample, Eighth Wonder. Banned in Canada, along with his masterpiece Eric's Body, this collection of red-hot, over-the-top tales is the hottest gay erotic book ever written, and I've gone through 3 copies, says an Amazon reader. No wonder. Big Bill Jackson's stories exploded in all the major gay magazines starting in 1980 and left readers in a state of exhausted ecstasy. At 6'4", this powerful muscular knockout went on the prowl as a personal trainer, a stag film stud, a bouncer, the owner of his own Big Bill Body Works. From the green pastures of the South to the back rows of Manhattan's gay theaters, Big Bill was always up and ready for action. From kinky to wild.
So he writes his stuff from your apartment building.
He writes it directly underneath your room.
Right now. In fact, if you listen in the background, you might be able to hear a typewriter. Tap it away.
I'm looking out my window. I see Clark Kent Jr. talking into his microphone to some friends of his. I've watched him do his Morning Joe routine for weeks upon weeks at this point in time. And it doesn't get old. It gets better and better. That might be his next book, Tony.
Well, he has one more pseudonym that I thought was definitely worth mentioning.
Okay.
So he's got his two S&M gay erotica names, and he's got his horror erotic fiction.
He's put a lot of time and effort into this. Congratulations.
Spent all day.
He's only written one book as this other persona, but he wrote a children's book called Doofus, the Little Christmas Boy. Maybe. And I don't need that music for this because I've got Christmas music.
Maybe you've heard of him. His name's Jim Henson.
This is a book for children about Christmas, written by Tony's neighbor. This is the summary of Doofus the Little Christmas Boy. Turn it down a little bit so I can read this. 10-year-old Doofus Dunlap is an abused little boy whose mother seems to hate him for no logical reason. To escape her torture, he discovers a way into the center of the earth where Santa World exists, along with 3 buddies, Feisty Maggie, Crazy Little Jimmy Chan, and Strong Buck. They seep Santa Claus to warn him there are evil forces afoot that plan to destroy his world and Christmas. Non-escape adventure and suspense as our trio of heroes encounter monsters of the underworld. It's a perennial Christmas classic, guys.
Who starts out with a book saying that the main character is an abused little boy?
Well, I do have to say, I don't have this ready for this show because I couldn't find a way to print out these pages. But I found several pages of it online and read it. And he gets into a lot of detail about this little boy may have been abused for the first few chapters of the book. I think we may need to read a few chapters of this for Christmas every show.
Do we think that maybe this guy is that abused little boy?
I'm pretty sure that may be semi-autobiographical. Fairly certain.
I'm not laughing at that situation.
So, Tony, your neighbor is probably the most amazing person I've ever heard of.
We may have a chance to get him as a guest.
We could get him as a guest.
The problem is, can we get him to go away?
No.
Once we get him as a guest.
I was going to say, there's 2 outcomes for this. One is he thinks it went great and he asked you to be on the show constantly.
Radio for Winners, Tony, Jeremy, Cherokee, Don, and what was one of the names?
Jerry Tillotson.
And Big. And Bill. Johnson.
Either he thinks it goes well and he bothers you every day to get back on the show, or he knows it was not well and he hates you forever and you have this angry queen in your apartment that is writing erotic fiction and staring in your window. So there are two negative outcomes. But maybe it goes well. Maybe, you know, maybe this will be our big break. We'll get millions of listeners, all the readers of his books, which, by the way, if you go on Amazon and look for reviews, they're all reviewed by one person who might be Jerry Tilton.
Can you play that that song one more time?
The Sexy Time song?
Yeah. So Don took off his Orioles hat. Lust in his eyes. Who was in front of him? Find out next time.
I would listen to that. I would listen to that.
We might have a new podcast for the Thunder Grunt Podcast Network.
It's just Jerry Tillotson's Erotica Hour. Do you like werewolves? Do you like men-on-men action?
Do you like denim?
What's up with the werewolves?
I don't know.
Man.
Lots of werewolves.
That's going to be kind of a downer from that. But I think if we did have something else to do here, we'd probably do a regular segment. Probably one like Radio for Winners and the News. This is the time every week where we find news stories. We cut up the parts we don't like. We add in the parts we do like. Sometimes I make up parts completely, and other times I miss the beat completely as well. This is the second week called Radio for Winners and the News.
Welcome back.
Thanks.
That was pretty good.
It was all right. I got very excited in the middle.
I know you did.
And forgot what I was doing.
Good for you.
So, guys, I don't know if you've seen, what is McDonald's doing right now in general? I don't know what their target goal is, but they're having some sort of meltdown.
Still making delicious french fries.
Yeah, I'm not sure, because we're in the middle of a weight loss contest.
Well, Tony, I'm going to be honest with you. I may not be doing as well as I've been letting on. This is not the news item, but it is kind of news. I'm not doing that well in the weight loss contest.
We've been doing a weight loss contest with you two douchers for like, as we started this day, I'm thinking you two have just gotten fatter.
Yeah, pretty much. It was a weight gain contest. Whoever gains the least wins, jeez. So it still works out. But so McDonald's did this thing a while ago where it was you could ask them questions, like they had that commercial where they put signs through like, ask us any question, McDonald's.
So they got the guy from Mythbusters who got fired from Mythbusters.
Yes.
And they're doing a whole online campaign about ask them anything about, you know, their food and,
yeah,
and
how does the McRib get made?
Yeah, and they'll go and they'll do like a 15-minute Mythbusters.
Did you watch how the McRib gets made?
I did.
I mean, not that I'm surprised by it, but you still don't want to see how the McRib gets made.
No, but it's not as bad as you would think that it's like in a, you know, like a Ziploc bag full of meat and they just like mold it into like this rib looking thing.
It's pretty close.
Yeah, well, but I think the weirdest thing about that was just how they get the imprint stamp of the McRib.
It's just in a mold, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty gross.
Yeah. But anyway, so now they're doing this whole, I don't know, now I'm afraid, for the first time, I'm afraid to go to McDonald's.
I don't even care. I mean, that's fine if you want to promote that we're a totally transparent food organization, which is weird that you need to prove that.
Right.
But if you've been to a McDonald's now, and I don't know if they all do this, but the one by my house 100% does, instead of being able to order value meals, which is the best thing that's ever happened to fast food, you now have to design your meal.
Right. So now I'm confused, right? Because they remember people would make fun of you like, how do you not know what you want at McDonald's? I mean, everything's the same menu for 100 years, right?
But it's not now.
That's right. Yeah, they have those stupid fucking commercials where they refresh the screen and the menu changed. Now you can design whatever you want. Now I'm afraid I'm going to design something that's going to cost me $15. Right. I don't know what the hell I'm going
to
design.
Well, not just that. If you wanted, like, my favorite, the two cheeseburger meal, I highly recommend it if you decide to go to the McDonald's.
Yes.
It's no longer there. You can't just get two cheeseburgers with that combo anymore. Now you have to order two cheeseburgers, a fry, and a drink all separate. You can't do a combo meal.
I'm not ordering two cheeseburgers and a fruit cup, by the way.
No,
I'm not doing that.
They have, it's not even a fruit cup. I looked at what it is. It's a side salad or their fries or cookies or an ice cream. Those are the sides they offer.
And I'm not going to McDonald's to get a side salad.
Yeah, no. So I don't know what they're doing. I mean, their sales apparently are bad, although I've never seen McDonald's close unless it burns down, which might be its own
thing. Just out of curiosity, you know who's got a really good side salad? The Airport Chili's in Dallas, Fort Worth.
It all comes full circle. It all comes full circle.
Yeah, but so it's very confusing at the McDonald's. I don't know what they're doing.
I'm never going to order there again until they change the menu back. And that is a Radio for Winners fat guy promise.
And that,
wow.
I bet they change that menu back.
Tomorrow. They were like, oh my God, Jeremy comes here 3 times a day. This is a major loss for us.
Thanks for tuning in. The stock price of McDonald's has fallen 85 points this morning because Jeremy's decided not to go there any longer.
I say that Jeremy breaks that promise before Sunday.
Before I get home tonight.
So you got Sunday. He's got tonight. I was going to go with tomorrow morning. But yes, at some point in time in the next 2 days, you'll be there.
Well, I was going to talk about how we landed a comet on a spaceship on a comet, but I don't have any news on that.
We didn't land a spaceship on a comet.
Well, we did it in my mind. It's the story I'm going with. But I have a more important story, Don. Local story, Montgomery County, Maryland has decided to remove all religious holidays from their calendars for their schools. That's right. Kids no longer get off for Christmas or Easter or any other religious holiday. They just get off for no reason.
Well, a lot of us get off for no reason. Hi, everybody.
Whoa. It's a problem many men face.
His brow was wet. His back was sweaty. Beads running down.
So the actual news piece of this is that...
Who was it? Check us out next time on Radio for Winners.
I think that should actually just be our reoccurring segment.
I like it.
Tony as Tony's neighbor writing erotica about Radio for Winners. I'd listen to that every day.
It's like a soap opera.
So here's the actual piece of news to this story, is that Montgomery County, Maryland, which is a...
you pronounce it weird. Montgomery?
How do you pronounce it for...
Montgomery.
Okay, well, I'm not from here, Don.
All right.
Anyway, they were getting pressure from Muslim organizations to give Muslim holidays off on the school calendar.
Right.
So instead of saying no, or instead of saying yes, they said, here's what we'll do instead. And they took all the current religious holidays, Jewish and Christian holidays, removed them from the calendar... just by name, and then put them back in the exact same days they were with new names like Fall Holiday and No One Has School Today Holiday. And then said, see, now there's no religious holidays. The end.
That's like saying, boom, and just dropping a mic and like walking off stage. What are you going to do now, huh? You can't do nothing. You ain't got nothing.
But it's the dumbest. First off, that's a spineless, sad move.
It is, but you know, I think to the point that they're trying to make
it.
That's right. When does it stop? Right.
If you say something like, "Well, if over 40% of the student body will be out in a day, we'll make it a holiday."
Yeah, but see, here's the thing: is that you know, I grew up in Howard County, and Howard County had a very large Jewish population, so we had off
Montgomery,
right? But we had off for all the Jewish holidays, but a lot of the other counties didn't have off. But then the population started growing, so then those holidays started changing. So now, you know, when does it stop?
But the point is, if you just make it a percentage of your student body, then that's it.
Well.
Or you could just say no. Say, I'm sorry, no.
Or just can we just give them floating? No. Can we give them floating holidays?
You get seven religious holidays. No, because then if you have to have your teachers come in. So if your teachers are going to take off those holidays, they can't.
Why don't we just homeschool everybody?
That's a horrible plan. Can you imagine homeschooling your kids?
I'd quit.
Your kids would know nothing. You know, my kids would know nothing either. They'd be like, we can play Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
They would really know how to wash a car. Put a nice shine on.
My dad taught me how to make a bunch of drinks.
I'd teach him never to talk back. I'd tell you that much right now.
All my dad taught me was never talk back. And that sounds like the appropriate way to end another solid episode of Radio for Winners. So I'll see everyone next week when we have more gay erotica. We'll have Tony's Neighbors on. It's going to be amazing. Hope to see you guys all then.
Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Just 770 and 404. I'm worldwide, yet act like y'all know. It's the abominable ho man. Globe Trot International Postman. Neighbor Dick Dope Man. 718-202s. I send small cities and states. IOUs. 901. Matter of fact, 305. I'll jump off the G4. We can meet outside. So control your hormones and keep your drawers on. Till I close the door and I'm jumping your bones. 312s, 313s. 215s, 803s. I'll read your horoscope and eat some hors d'oeuvres. 10 on pump one, these holes is self-serve. 757, 410s, my cell phone just overloads.
I've got holes. In different area.
3, 2, 1, go.
You can follow. You can. Contact Radio for Winners on Twitter at Radio for Winners, Facebook.com. Search for Radio for Winners, or if you want to send us an email, hit us up on the Gmail, rfwshow@gmail.com.
Well, there you have it, folks. Another happy ending from the good people, Jimmy James Incorporated.